Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal is to help you get rid of all of your debt, and we'll even show you how to live a debt-free life. Take a sneak peek on how we do it, and you will see there are no smoke and mirrors, nor are there gimmicks. The how-to guide is contained in the Bible. We use these biblical principles in our small group study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. More information is waiting for you at compasscatholic.org. Just click Books and Studies. John and Evelyn Bean are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, but today you are stuck with John and I. Evelyn is taking the day off. And the topic is millennials. We're going to focus on finances, investing, and a long-range goal of retirement. So John, let's get into the financial discussion pertaining to millennials.
Well, Steve, that's the largest generation in American history. They are called the millennials, or Generation Y. And the name millennial actually comes because they were born near or at the beginning of the 21st century. And there are over 80 million millennials in the United States now. They're larger than the boomers. They are the largest group. They were born into the digital age. You know, they don't know what dial telephones are and things like that.
What?
You know, technology is part of their everyday lives. It's estimated that they check their cell phones about 45 times a day. Now, I've got two grandsons who are millennials. I think it might be 45 times an hour, but okay, I shouldn't go there.
So I'm half a millennial because I do about 20, 25 times.
You know, research has shown that the millennial generation will be the most ethnically and racially diverse generation in U.S. history. And, you know, they face the most uncertain economic future, perhaps, of any generation. I think you could probably go back to the Great Depression and the people who came out of the Great Depression really not knowing what was going to happen to them. You know, that we've gone through 30 years of wages that just pretty much stayed the same, stagnant. You know, they didn't move. And then, boom, we got hit with the Great Recession in 2008. Over 15% of those people in their early 20s were out of work. You know, either they didn't get a job or they got laid off because, you know, last in, first out kind of a thing. Right. And the income and net worth difference between the millennials and the middle class just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's actually at the highest level in the past 90 years. Even though the job market improved in 2016 and 2017, the millennials still face a 20-year trend of a decreasing labor market mobility. Now, what does that mean? Labor market mobility sounds like research mamby-pamby, you know, kind of stuff. But if you think about, well, and I think the easiest way to think about it is, let me give you an example of what happened to me when I was in this age generation and I started working. I held a job for 2 years and then got laid off. And I went to work for a Fortune 500 company. I was there for almost 2 years, and I was transferred to North Carolina. And I was at that job for 12 months and was transferred to another city in North Carolina. And I was there for 18 months and took a new job with the same company in North Carolina. And I held that one. I held it. It wasn't, I mean, these were all step ups. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting, other than the layoff, I wasn't getting fired. It was all promotions. But I had that job for then about 8 or 9 years. And then that's when I got too big for my britches and thought I could start my own company. But we won't go there now. But the thing is, I was moving. Every time I moved, I got more money. I had a better situation. You know, everything was on a pretty steep slope. What they're talking about here when they say decreasing labor market mobility, the millennials aren't getting opportunities like I had.
Right.
And like most of the boomers had early in their careers. They're just stuck where they are. 57% of millennials are stressed about their finances. And 48% of them, so almost everybody that's stressed, they're saying that the financial matters is the top cause for all their stress. And unfortunately for the millennials whose careers coincided with the trend, it's difficult to make up lost earnings from those early, you know, the slow years where you're not making any money, there's no raises. The effect of initially low salaries is compounded when subsequent raises are nothing to write home about.
Basically, it's the cost of living.
Yeah, exactly. So people are not able to save and invest in ways that's going to provide income in the future. Think about in the Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, when we get to week 7, we talk about saving and investing.
Right.
And we've got a chart in the book. It's actually on page 158. And it talks about Danielle and Matthew and their savings,
uh-huh.
you know. And Danielle saved from age 21 to age 28 $1,000 a month.
Okay.
And she just let that money ride. She didn't put any more money into that savings vehicle. Matthew, on the other hand, didn't have any excess cash between 21 and 28. He wasn't able to start saving until he reached 28. So 29, when he was 29, he put his first $1,000 away. He was very faithful. He did that all the way from age 29 all the way to age 65. Both Matthew and Daniel had the same rate of return on their investment. Who do you think has more money at age 65, Daniel or Matthew?
I would think Matthew, because he was putting $1,000 every year
for 38 years.
Yeah. And she stopped after 10?
After 8.
Or after 8.
Yeah.
Okay. So naturally it would be Matthew.
Yeah. Wrong.
Okay. Are you doing some kind of fuzzy math that I'm not aware of?
Danielle's savings would be worth about $427,000. And Matthew's would only be worth about $363,000. So there's almost a $75,000 differential.
Okay, Mr. Wizard, explain.
Well, it's the magic of compound interest.
Okay, she had an 8-year
She had an 8-year head start. And so,
okay.
You know, that she was earning interest on top of her interest. And it just continued to grow. She let everything ride, as did Matthew. But because he delayed 8 years, that kind of effect is what the millennials are going through today, because they don't have enough money. They're kind of like Matthew. They don't have the money to invest early. Okay, so they're having to wait to really save. For the most part. I've got a percentage, I can't remember it off the top of my head, we'll get to it a little bit later, how some millennials are actually kind of doing a Danielle savings thing, but the percentage compared to the whole is not very large.
Now, you're using $1,000 as an example. I mean,
yes.
if you are a Matthew-type person and you can't afford to do $1,000 a year, just saving anything, $300, $400, $500, as soon as you get out of school and get that first job.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I know I've
anything.
Heard, and you and Evelyn have mentioned this so many times, especially in the subject of retirement. The question is, when do you start saving retirement?
Yesterday.
Exactly, the first day of that first job, even if it's $25 a week or a month.
Exactly. I've got a grandson that's working at a hamburger stand, you know, on the drive-in now. You know, we're already talking to him about, you know, you got the reason you're doing this is to pay for your insurance on your truck. You need to be putting a little bit of money aside for retirement. You know, he's 17-year-old. He's, you know, Papa.
Yeah, that's
come on.
That's a normal reaction. I'll eventually get to it.
Yeah.
And as you know, Audrey and I worked with a couple who got to it in their 50s.
Yeah.
They never saved a dime. until he was 55 and she was 53.
Well, even in our case, we, you know, we saved when we were young because the company did some matching and stuff like that. And my father told me, he says, you've got to save. You got to put money away. Mm-hmm. And so we did. But then when we got goofy and tried to start our own business, we wiped that out completely. So when we were 38, we had to start over. And we did. We were unbelievably blessed with great jobs and super salaries, and we were able to save huge amounts of money so that we were able to make it up in 20 years. That's not what happens for most people. Right. You know, $1,000 a month, that's less than $100, or excuse me, $1,000 a year is less than $100 a month. You just got to put it away. You got to find a way to put that money away. There's a great verse in Romans chapter 5, 3 and 4. It reads, we know that trouble produces endurance, and endurance brings God's approval, and his approval creates help. So, what are we talking about there? There's hope there. You know, if you are going through a troubled situation now, you know, you're enduring, and you know, if you keep positive about it, keep moving forward, keep your head looking up, you're going to get God's approval through your endurance in the situation you're in.
So, John, how do you think, listening to you the last few minutes, how do you think millennials view their life track?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's definitely different from the way their parents and grandparents saw theirs. They don't want to just go find a big company and say, I'm going to work there for the next 50 years and, you know, I'll never leave. You know, that doesn't happen anymore. They want to try and do their own thing. They want to enjoy life. And you know what I think it is? They want to pursue their ambitions now, whether that means that going for the dream job right out of college, working for somebody else's promising startup company, creating a location-independent business. They want a job that allows a great work-life balance. And they don't want to wait to travel. They want to be able to go and explore the world today. And they want to create their own nonprofit or maybe pursue their hobbies. You know, retirement planning isn't part of their thought process. And in fact, you know, they might not be planning on retiring at all if they find that right job that they want to just keep on going, you know, time after time. So that's different from the way their parents were and their grandparents were. And, you know, I think I can remember, and Steve, I think you can too, because I think we've talked about it. Once you got married, you immediately wanted to have the life that your parents had.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, you're married now. You're an adult. It's a house. You know, we want to get a house. We want to have a good job. But we didn't want to wait 30 or 40 years for that to happen.
Right.
We wanted it right away. I don't think the millennials are any different from that standpoint, from that mind psyche, than we were when we were young. You know, or our grandparents really weren't any different from that, I don't think. I think that's just a generational thing. And it's more obvious now because there's so many millennials out there that people are seeing it and they're thinking, these kids today, what else can I say?
So, John, what do you think the chief concern is financially for the millennial?
Well, I think the biggest concern is having enough money for living expenses. You know, they're facing a sluggish job market. They're maybe postponing going to work in favor of staying in school, getting higher degrees. I'm not sure that that's always the wisest thing unless you're becoming a doctor or something like that. Others are making do with part-time positions. And some who do get full-time employment find that, you know, this isn't a surprise, but entry-level jobs are at the bottom of the pay schedule. And so naturally, they're more concerned about the present than they are about the future, about retirement. And basically, they're struggling to establish a budget to help with other financial goals.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. Go to compasscatholic.org and take a tour of the website, and you'll see some great financial management tools that you can use absolutely free. And the topic we're going through today is titled Millennials. We're discussing their finances, investing, and retirement. And John just started to take us through a few of the major concerns that millennials have. The first one being, do I have enough money for living expenses? So John, what would you consider to be some of the other concerns?
I think the next most important thing for a millennial is becoming financially independent. And this goes right along with, you know, having enough money for living expenses like we were talking about. But being free from financial support from your parents is one of the defining characteristics between an adult and a child. As you grow up, you know, you're financially dependent upon your parents to provide you with whatever it is you need. Now that you're adult, you know, you need to take over that responsibility yourself. Living paycheck to paycheck, as many millennials do, doesn't really make becoming financially independent that easy. Gaining independence should become income-driven as opposed to frugality-fueled. We are all the time talking about how people can save money by cutting back.
Right.
Okay, not spending foolishly. But there's a whole generation of people here, many of whom don't earn enough money to spend frivolously in the first place.
Exactly.
So they're just barely making ends meet. They can't cut back anything. So what do they have to do? What are we saying? They need to find a way to make more income. If they're making $30,000 a year, it's going to be nearly impossible to amass a large sum of money, you know, even if you're really careful to save all your pennies and you don't stop and get that big cup of coffee or, you know, eat out all the time, whatever, you know, your friends are doing, you're still not going to be able to save a ton of money. So what do you have to do? You need to find a way to make more money. And you can do that by broadening your education or work experience. Both of those would help you to be able to earn more money. You know, the next thing that millennials are concerned about is getting out of debt. The biggest debt that they have today, for the most part, is student loan debt. Now, I'm not saying that every single student has student loan debt, because that's not true. Some of them are able to work their way through college, and maybe it takes them an extra year or two, or they get scholarships or whatnot. So not everybody has student loan debt, but there's an awful lot who do. And the average, you know, is getting towards $30,000 to $35,000 a student just with a bachelor's degree. Now, I'm not talking about master's or doctorate or anything like that.
You know, and the student loan, some people will think $30,000, that's really not a lot, but when you add it on to, they have a rent, they have car payment, those student loans really
groceries
do add up.
They got to buy,
daily living.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, and it's nice to hear that they are concerned about getting out of debt, not growing the debt, but getting out of debt.
Right, right. So they're struggling with unemployment, they're struggling with low-paying jobs. It's natural to figure out that you need to pay off your debt as soon as possible, because that's taking a big chunk of the little paycheck that you get. Sometimes that's not the best course, and focusing on paying off the debt, maybe you're better off focusing on earning more money. In your 20s, compound interest is in your favor, as we talked about the Danielle scenario where she invested just a little bit and allowed it to ride and ride and ride. I think that that's what our millennials need to be looking for. It's when you're young like that and you've got 40 or 50 years until you're going to retire, it's a good time to take some risk with your investments, because if it goes into the tank, there's time to recover. Like, even like what I was talking about, you know, we were able to recover. Now, we were very blessed, but we were able to recover. If that happens to you when you're 55,
right,
no time to recover. You're in bad shape. Many millennials are incurring credit card debt in addition to their student loan because they're trying to be adults. They're trying to establish themselves. And the only way they can do that, because they don't have the big salaries that make it happen, is they use the credit cards. The good thing about a credit card is it's crucial to help build your credit rating. And having a good credit rating is crucial to having the lowest interest rates possible when you go for a loan. But you don't want to be charging your credit cards to the max. And in fact, you should work really hard to never charge more than about 35%, and that's really high. It's better if you can keep your credit cards to like 10% or maybe 15% of the amount of available credit that you have on that card. Can I say that in a different way? If your card has a limit of $10,000, then the 35% would be the same as if you charged $3,500. You wouldn't ever want to go higher than that. And it would be even better if you're down at $1,000 or $1,500, because that's going to give you the best credit score, because you're being responsible with the utilization of your credit. That's important when you go to buy a car. It's important when you go to get a mortgage. And even today, a lot of businesses, before they hire you, they're going to do a credit check. If you've shown you can be responsible with your credit cards, then probably, this is what the business owner is thinking, you will be responsible as an employee working for me. I think millennials need to be careful about where they save their money, if they're able to save money. Putting it in the savings account at the bank is probably not the best place to put their money. They need to find a different vehicle. A savings account is a great place for your emergency fund, but not for actually earning interest and growing the amount that you're savings. There are better places like that, or for that, like mutual funds or in the stock market or whatever. Planning for the future is another thing that millennials, even though, you know, they want this life balance, life work balance, but they're not just sitting back and flying by the seat of their pants. They are doing some planning. That's a good thing. 43% of millennials say they need help saving for retirement. And 35% have already withdrawn money from their retirement plans to pay expenses that have no relationship to retirement, you know, to pay daily living expenses. And 50% of millennials, half of them, think that they're going to need to withdraw money from their retirement accounts to cover non-retirement expenses. I think we've all been there, and we've probably all done that to an extent. The key issue is, how much are you going to do that? Are you going to be like what I did? I withdrew 100% of everything I'd saved for 15 years? Or are you just going to buy just a little bit and then pay it back as quickly as possible? 50% think that Social Security benefits are going to be available when they are ready to retire.
You know, John, that doesn't surprise me, but it's not just millennials. There's a large group of individuals, including baby boomers, who still think that Social Security will take them through post-retirement.
Yeah. And, you know, these people are just dreaming.
No, it's maybe they are dreaming, but what we discover is they really don't think about it. You know, they really haven't put a pencil to paper on what their Social Security benefit's going to be each month and how it relates to what their living expenses are.
Exactly. You know, the millennials would be better if they didn't plan to rely so heavily on Social Security. And in fact, listen to this, 40% of millennials think their employer should provide their retirement. That's not happening anymore. There's almost no companies that have pension plans anymore. And 19% and I think this is indicative of the age, but 19% are saying the government should provide their retirement. Well, that's kind of what Social Security is, but it typically is just not enough. Proverbs 21:20 tells us that precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool consumes it. So how are you doing with that? 2% of millennials think they should have the primary responsibility for supporting themselves in retirement. Those are good thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's a tough thing to go to because, you know, in today's world, your contributions are voluntary. They're not mandatory. They're not tied to your employer's plan because the employer doesn't have a plan. It puts them in a bad spot. The next question is, will I be able to retire? I'm a millennial. Will I be able to retire? Well, that's a really good question because, you know, that still remains to be seen. 26% are hoping that their lottery ticket purchases are going to pay off.
Hey.
That's just so bad. You can't even go there. Or they're going to inherit money to use for their retirement savings. Well, maybe they will. But those are pretty unrealistic expectations. With those kinds of expectations, the more easily you get your wealth, the less good it will do you. That's from Proverbs 20:21. So what's going to happen with millennials? How are they going to survive? You know, given their love for anything tech-related, it should come as little surprise that millennials are taking advantage of all kinds of high-tech and social media tools to allow them to plow their wealth into the investment vehicles of their choice. And they're leveraging social networking and platforms and websites and mobile apps to do everything from following the stock market to finding financial planners. But they have to remember one thing, Steve. It's not about the money. It's about the change. And that's the change of their heart.
And as a reminder, each and every Wednesday morning, you'll find a brand new podcast available. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down to the homepage, and click the podcast button. On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.